reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And it's on page 995 of the Church Bibles. This reading is headed, "The Sheep and the Goats." When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?' He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life."
Well, that's very sobering, isn't it? So here we are in the middle of our Apostles' Creed, and so far it's been all joy, hasn't it? We've worshipped as we remembered Jesus' miraculous birth. We watched in horror with his disciples and his mother at the agony that he experienced through his death and separation from his Father. Then we leapt for joy to hear of Jesus' resurrection, and watched with his disciples as he ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of his Father, our Father. We have worshipped him with great thankfulness that he did all that for our sakes. So it's been all joy. And from next week, we will read of Jesus' passion as we make our way to Easter. Strange then that in all that joy, it's followed by the subject of Jesus, the coming judge. I think I might have drawn the short straw here. Because this passage speaks of a final decision, right from left, no messing about in the middle, believers from non-believers, good from bad, obedience from disobedience, heaven and hell. And at a glance, it could, well, perhaps for outsiders, appear unfair, brutal even. until we remember again the long-suffering patience, the immense love and mercy that our Father in heaven has poured out on his people. Since his chosen people, since he chose the people, since he watched over them, since he gave them land and everything, since he poured his blessings upon them, generation after generation rejected his love, rejected his wisdom to make up their own. They despised the prophet's words that he gave to speak to his people. And over he forgave them and said, I will have you back. But finally, our Father offered the final sacrifice of his only son. And he watched in agonizing pain as Jesus suffered to take our sins away. Why would he? Why would he? To offer salvation to everybody for all time. Unimaginable love, unimaginable pain. He did that for you, for me, for all of his people. I guess that, you know, nobody knows us except God intimately, do they? I should imagine for people who know that they belong to Jesus, who walk with him, who know that he's present with them all the time, what a joy it is to be in that place. We'll find this passage wonderful because it speaks of the time when we are welcomed by our Lord Jesus into glory to be with him forever. We had, Mandra and I, and lots of you had the pleasure of being part of Monty's funeral on Friday. And he and Carol, we know for sure that they're in glory together with our Lord Jesus. That's the future of people who are committed to Jesus. But for those who reject his sacrifice that he made for their sin, it tells of a final rejection of them from God. The worst thing they will ever hear. So 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Can you imagine? I mean, there are many artists' impression of the throne of God, surrounded by his angels. I was being taught once by somebody uptown, and she showed us this picture of the throne of God, and she said, don't take photographs of it because we're not allowed to show it. Well, I did. But then I couldn't find it amongst the millions of photographs on my phone. But this glorious throne, and she was talking to us about heaven is where God's throne is and earth is his footstool. So he's here with us in part, but we won't see his glory, not until we die and go to be with him. So when will that be? Well, don't get into reading theology, this judgment, because I could still be here at 4:30 telling you all the things I've read. when is it? Jesus coming in judgment is spoken of many times throughout our Bibles, from Daniel through to Revelation. Revelation 22:12 says, the last words of Jesus as he left the earth, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. There are lots of theories, but actually we don't know. And I think that's one of the most wonderful things about knowing Jesus, about knowing God. The times I've asked vicars over the years, tell me about this, and they've said, we don't know. I think of myself as a bit of dust on the floor. That's what we're like compared to the magnificence of God. We don't have to know. No one knows the mind of God, but we can know Jesus in our personal life. How amazing is that? What we do know is that we need to be ready. This is the big thing, I think, in this passage. Be ready. Because Jesus could arrive at any given moment. Are we ready? So then it says, all the nations of the world will be gathered before him, and he will separate each one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Okay, round and round I went with this, the sheep and the goats. What's the difference between a sheep and a goat? Amanda says that in the Middle East, baby sheep, baby goats are very similar. I phoned up Fee, you know, our farming lady, but she was too busy, so I hung up. And, you know, we see sheep, they're lovely woolly creatures who do as they're told. They're small, they're submissive. And goats are very lively. They jump up on things, don't they? They're a blooming nuisance. So how could you keep those two together? Jesus separates them like a sheep and a goat. He'll put the sheep on his right. And as Amanda said last week, the right hand of God is the seat of honour. And the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, which are
sheep.
Come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, come on. We think we understand God. Before the creation of the world, he created us. He created all nations, and he knows them. He knows them intimately. So he says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was ill and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we do that? When did we do that? When did we feed you, gave you a drink? When did we give you clothes? When did we visit you? How strange these sheep were. They didn't realise that in their kindness and love for other people, they were serving Jesus. And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the smallest of these, you did for me. Oh. And Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine. And that struck me. He doesn't repeat it when he's speaking to the goats. These brothers and sisters of mine. I think he calls us to serve him. There are two calls. One, to the brothers and sisters. This is us. This is in the church of Christ. Everyone, whoever you are in the world, if you belong to Jesus, these are the brothers and sisters who he asks us to serve here. And that makes us think of our church. And think of it today. It's not in good order, actually, but we persevere. And we need to pray for brothers and sisters who witness to Jesus, because the time is coming when they'll be persecuted. We need to pray for our leaders who stand up for the truth of the word of God, the truth of Jesus, and pray for them and support them with our love. How much do we do that? So, fellow disciples, and if you think about it, when Jesus went out in his ministry, he owned nothing. He didn't claim to be anybody. He just went out as a simple person, and everyone that he met, he loved them. In some way or other, they went away different from when they met him. And when he did wonderful miracles. He healed the sick. He drove out demons. He spoke to the wind and it stopped, for goodness sake. And when he called his disciples to go out on their own, he said, don't take anything with you. Don't take anything with you. I'm going to give you my spirit to be in you. And I'll give you authority to witness to whoever you see. Yes, to heal the sick. Yes, to drive out demons, but be humble. They owned nothing. They needed feeding. They needed taking in. If we have travelling ministers or Christians that come into our church, we need to be offering them all these things, don't we? Because we know that we're serving Jesus' brothers and sisters. And then the second group of service, I think, is an our witness outside. To our friends, to our families, even if they're difficult. We all know difficult neighbours, don't we? To keep gently, humbly loving them in some way or other, knowing that we are serving Jesus. And it makes it easier, doesn't it, then, to serve anyone. 41 says to those on his left who are... Well done, Alison. Well done. He said, depart from me, O my days, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you didn't clothe me. I was ill and in prison and you didn't look after me. And they will answer also, Lord, when? Where? They didn't know. They had no idea. So Jesus said, whatever you didn't do for one of the least of these, so that's anybody, you didn't do for me. And we might say, oh, well, they're not interested. Jesus says, love them. We might say, she drives me mad, this neighbour. She won't listen to... Jesus said, love her. We've got somebody who goes into prison and loves people. We've got people who run the food bank. We give to them, don't we? We've got these activities in church like SCOF and Family at Four, all these things. We're doing our best, aren't we? We're reaching out. Get involved. Get involved. We're serving Jesus. But those goats, Jesus said, will go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous into eternal life. Told you he wasn't very happy, didn't I? Maybe those goats were church attenders. Maybe we don't know. And we don't have to know. Because Jesus said in Matthew 7, do not judge. Don't suss people out. Do not judge them. Or you will be judged. For with the same judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. See, only God knows our hearts, so only he can be our judge. Just listen to these words from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts. God even knows our thoughts. Do you know we can pray to him with our thoughts? we can be his friend with our thoughts. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. He knows what we're going to say. You hem me in behind and before. And best of all, you lay your hand on me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Can you hear what I'm saying? We are very tiny. God asks very little of us. Previously in Matthew, Jesus taught two parables, which you'll probably be very familiar with, but they can be helpful. First, he told a story about an oncoming wedding celebration, where I think he was the groom and there were 10 bridesmaids to serve him. They had the simple task of providing light for the journey by carrying flaming torches. The custom in those days was that the bridegroom would go to the house of his bride-to-be to collect her and then take her back to his home where she would live, where the celebration and the marriage would take place. So these torches had to last a long time. But in return for their service, they would be invited into the celebration. This is just a tiny little thing of our service. Our little things that we can do for God. Oh my gosh, we're going to be invited to the best celebration ever. So 5 of the bridesmaids made sure they got it right. They had plenty of oil for the journey and they were ready to serve. But the others were careless. They didn't carry out their duty well. And the result was that they were shut out. They knocked the door when it was closed and asked to be let in. And Jesus said, he didn't know them. How terrible to hear those words from Jesus. And the second parable was that Jesus told of three men whose master had entrusted some of his money with them to run his business while he was away. Two did as he asked, and when he came back, they gave him his money with a bit of profit. They'd done well. And Jesus, the master praised them for their faithfulness and welcomed them to come and work with him. The third servant hung on to his portion because, well, he was given less than the others and he wasn't really willing to do his best to serve his master. Consequently, the master cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness, where Jesus said there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't want anyone to hear those words, do we? Can you think of anything worse than being rejected by Jesus? We've heard many I don't knows through what I'm saying. But again, I want to say to you, what we should hear is, be prepared. Are you serving God as he calls you? Do we know that our salvation is real and true? So perhaps we need to review ourselves in the light of that possibility. Are you a sheep? Are you a goat? Let's ask ourselves a few questions. If you just close your eyes for a minute, you can just be on your own with Jesus. If he were to come tomorrow to judge us, would he see you and I as sheep or goats? Are we sincere disciples who love him above every other person and every other thing? Or maybe we're just on the edge starting a relationship with Jesus. Keep going. There is nothing better. Do we know what gifts he has given us? And do we use them for his sake and for the sake of our fellowship, even if sometimes it's hard going? Our church here at St. Mary's is a precious jewel amongst the many congregations of Christians in this world. How much time and care do we put into praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ in this family of St. Mary's? And outside, what's our service outside of our church to people in need who are sick or sad or lonely? Do we visit them? Do we offer to pray for them? Remember that the smallest thing we do for Jesus. And do we constantly pray for our leaders, for strength to keep going, to hold on to what is true and right, knowing that Jesus takes great pleasure in their service? And do we love to come together in worship and praise to God our Father? After this morning's songs, I'd say, yes, we do. And the best question of all, when we think of the coming of Jesus on his glorious throne, when we think of when he gathers up his followers to take us to be with him forever, does that fill us with joy? Let's just pray. Gentle, kind, loving Father, thank you that you are wise beyond our comprehension, that your glory is something we can't understand, and we are so glad to be your children. Help us to love each other without judgment or favoritism. Join us together in this place, in unity and with overpowering love for each other, that we can be a light in this place that shines with your glory. Help us to witness in our lives, by our actions and our words, the joy of knowing Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.